Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depending on where you are tuning into, welcome. This is Darcy Butkus, also known as Inspector Bark. I have my co-producer sitting in the room with me, looking out the window. His name is Ricky, and yes, he is my four-legged doggy, and I have Lucy, and he was just sitting looking outside, and I thought, okay, perfect timing. He's going to start barking. Just so you know, barking is allowed on this show. We've got 2 hours ahead of us. I've already got somebody sitting in the queue. I don't know who it is. They can hear me. So if you want to call back, whoever is sitting in the queue, feel free to do so. We will start taking calls at around the 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. But you can hear me and stay on if you wish. This is going to be a very interesting show, folks, okay? People have reached out to me all over this country, and I've reached out to them as well. It's a disturbing topic. It's something that most people don't want to listen to. They don't want to believe it, but believe it. I often look at quotes, and I've got one here that I will share with you, and I think it's so important regarding the subject today. If you haven't received the email, you received the link to the show. Hopefully you took the time to read what it's all about. The title of the show today is called Regret a Vet, Betrayal, Lies, Threats, and Cover-Up. That is what we're going to be discussing today. I will be calling in my co-host, who is much more knowledgeable about this subject than myself. He is the founder of Joey's Legacy. He will be calling in shortly. His name is Scott Fine, a good man, and he'll tell you his story. You're going to hear from other callers that are going to call in today. This is a platform to get their voices heard, to speak for those animals that they lost upon the hands of a veterinarian. I love this saying. And it's so true. Sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed. Frederick Nietzsche. Sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed. Think about that. And it's true. It's like you're raining on their parade, folks. And that's sad. Because when people try to get the word out, such as Justice for Ninja's owner who survived, and we'll talk about that case, people won't allow these particular people in groups to share what happened to them. Wouldn't you want to know if your neighbor or your friend's dog allegedly died due to a bad vet? Horrible veterinarian practices? And what is the vet boards doing about this? We're going to talk about that. You know there's a veterinarian board in each state of the USA. Scott Fine, who's going to be coming on shortly, I love his words. They all go off the same playbook. And I think he's right. The Florida Veterinarian Board, we'll talk about that case down there. How many animals have to die before the vet board does something? You'll hear the case that we're going to talk about where a veterinarian suspended her license in the state of North Carolina, and that vet is practicing up in Rhode Island. Well, all you people out there, I commend you. Kudos to you, because power in numbers, and it's working. And if Banfield Pet Hospitals decide to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear, we're going to talk about that. These animals deserve better. The general public need to be made aware, and that's what this whole podcast is about. I am a licensed private investigator here in the state of Georgia, where I reside 90% of the time. I also am licensed in the state of Florida. I own my own detective agency, Inspector Bark, and what I do is I sniff out the best and the worst within the animal welfare industry. This is my first podcast talking about bad veterinarian practices, and these people's voices need to be heard. Justice for Otis, Facebook page. Justice for Buffy, Facebook page. Justice for Allison, spelled A-L-L-I-S-O-N. And if you don't have a piece of paper and pen in front of you, please get one if you can, please. Because I'll be naming these off again. They're Facebook pages you need to read up about, and they're all over this country. Justice for Buffy, that dog died over 10 years ago. The owner, Sandy, went to every Florida veterinarian board to fight for her dog upon the hands of, in my opinion, a horrible vet. Yes, I said it. In my opinion, it is my First Amendment right. Why is that vet in Palm Beach Gardens, located in Palm Beach County, Florida, still practicing? My opinion, the Florida Veterinarian Board, they're weak. They're spineless. North Carolina Board, we'll talk about that one when Scott gets on. I'm going to read a couple more things. I like to always do an opening monologue. I've been at it for 7 minutes. I'm going to talk about another 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to tell Scotty to call on. But let me read something else here. This was all in the attachments of the email that I sent. If you didn't get the email, please, if you want to subscribe to my emails, send me a private message on my Inspector Bark Facebook page. Send me a message there, please, and also like the page if you don't mind. All these other pages that I'm talking about, I want you to like as well. John Hagee, quote, "To see evil and not call it evil is evil. To see evil and not call it evil is evil." For all of you people that are supporting bad veterinarian practices, wherever you may be, and you knew something, and you turned a blind eye and a deaf ear, shame on you. Shame on you. These animals need our voice. Quote from Joey's Legacy. I love this one. "Rather than protecting a guilty colleague, vet boards should offer justice to a bereaved companion animal parent by imposing firm and fair disciplinary action." I have to repeat this because you have to listen to every word because it's so important. "Rather than protecting a guilty colleague, vet boards should offer justice to a bereaved companion animal parent by imposing firm and fair disciplinary action." You know what they do? They wash their hands of that vet. The vet leaves their state. They could care less. They really could care less, people. As long as they're out of their state, not their problem. Shame on them. Shame on them. There is a guy's name, and I put it in my email. He left the state of Nevada, good old Las Vegas, where my husband and I and friends always frequent every year. We love Las Vegas. He left Nevada, and his name is Prentice Madden. It's all in my email. Good-looking black gentleman holding a little dog, comes to Aventura, Florida, my old neck of the woods. Aventura, Florida is in North Miami Beach, people, right on the border of Turnberry. A lot of wealthy people live there. People loved him. Rescues went to see him. Guess what he's going to be doing? Serving 22 years in prison. You know what for? Bestiality and child porn. In case you don't know what bestiality is, it's having sex with an animal. So he left Nevada, came clear across the country, settled in Miami. Nobody knows about him. And this was told. And by the way, just so you know, because I am a news junkie, there was a pediatrician in Broward County, which is the county north of Miami-Dade, where he was. Broward County, Fort Lauderdale area, give you an example, pediatrician just got busted for child pornography. Pediatrician. It's happening, folks. And let me just add this. If you are offended by the words thug, scum, liar, animal abuser, then this show is not for you, okay? Because this is the real world we're living in, people. The real world. And they come in all shapes and sizes, all colors, all walks of life. They could be a multimillionaire. You don't know. They could be walking right beside you. There's horrible veterinarians out there. There's horrible, shady attorneys. That's for damn sure. There's horrible rescues using the backs of these animals to profit off of. And that is my main specialty. I've been doing that for 14 years. Scotty, I'm wrapping it up. If you want to give a call in, the number is 563-999-3599. I've been doing this a long time, folks. And whether you love me, you hate me, not my concern. My concern are for those animals. And I will always speak for those animals that have no voice. And I'm asking you to join me and help these people that have suffered a horrible loss. And why the veterinarian boards in this country are weak and spineless. They will bully you, and when I say they, shady rescues, shady veterinarians, shady transports, anything to intimidate you, to bully you, to threaten you, to get you to back off. Right now, I'm going to welcome my co-host. It's an honor to bring in Scott Fine onto this show. Scott, justice for Joey's legacy, thank you so much for joining us.
Marcy, good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. And Scotty, you and I spoke earlier because I told you we were having problems with our Verizon tower here in North Georgia. So let me know if I'm coming in a little sketchy because right now I'm looking at my phone and I'm only at 2 bars, okay? So I just want to make sure our audience can hear me loud and clear.
Well, you sound fine on this end.
Okay, thank you so much. Scott, we've got other people waiting already in the queue. Somebody's been waiting very patiently, and they can hear us, so we're going to continue on. I want you to tell the audience, if you will, and I'm going to mute myself. I want you to share your story of how your Joey's legacy began.
Well, yesterday, ironically, was the 5th anniversary of Joey's death, the day he died. He was brought to the veterinarian 2 days prior, the 19th of June, 2017, with some gastrointestinal symptoms. Instead of performing labs and other diagnostics, the veterinarian, who is not Joey's normal vet, substitute vet, decided to try to guess at what was wrong with Joey rather than performing labs and coming up with a solid diagnosis. Well, he guessed wrong in a big way. He gave Joey a shot of a drug called Convenia, which has its friends and its enemies. And Convenia was contraindicated for Joey's condition, which we ultimately found out was renal failure. And instead of performing labs and perhaps prescribing renal-friendly drugs that would have allowed Joey to survive that veterinary experience, the Convenia, I'm told by independent veterinarians, likely destroyed Joey's kidneys, and he was euthanized on June 21st, 2017. Needless to say, we were devastated, my wife and I. We had no clue that anything like that would happen, obviously. And so we decided to try to turn our tragedy into something of a triumph, for lack of a better phrase, and reach out to people that had a similar experience. And quite frankly, you know, we've had great veterinarians over the years, over the decades. We've provided a home for many companion animals, and we've dealt with many veterinarians over the years. Never a problem. They were always very caring and compassionate, and you know, you could tell that they entered the profession for the right reasons. Our Facebook group, Joey's Legacy Vet Mal Victims, contains almost 3,500 members. I will tell you that the majority of the members have never had a bad experience with a veterinarian and likely never will. We at Joey's Legacy recognize the great profession that it is. Unfortunately, it has its reputation has deteriorated since 2006 when the profession ranked number 3 behind nurses and pharmacists in terms of honesty and integrity. They are no longer on that list by Gallup in their annual survey, which is very sad because we rely on our veterinarians to take care of our companion animals, our family members, our loved ones. And there is a minority of veterinarians that I call bad actors, and I call them bad actors and for that reason and for the purpose of this podcast. When I say bad actor, I'm talking about a veterinarian who commits malpractice and chooses to try to cover it up by falsifying records and other methods of committing fraud. And the majority of veterinarians do not do that. They are ethical, they are honest, and they try to do the right thing. The minority that don't are the ones that Joey's Legacy's veterinarians and attorneys attempt to pursue through legal action. That's how Joey's Legacy got started. We're 5 years old, and as I mentioned, we're up to about 3,500 members. And we will continue to pursue justice when we have determined that malpractice or negligence did in fact occur.
Scott, how old was Joey when he died, and what type of dog was Joey?
Joey was a short-haired dachshund, and he was 12 years old. He had just turned 12 a few months earlier in March.
How long did you have Joey from when he was a puppy?
Yes, Joey came to live with us when he was, I believe, 8 weeks old. Was always a great companion, had a very quirky personality, a sense of humor, if you will, and was always very loyal and stayed close to my wife and myself. And I can tell you that after 5 years, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Scott.
And I can tell you after 5 years, the feeling of betrayal by that veterinarian, the feeling of anger, despair, and certainly on anniversaries of his birth and his death are very emotional days, as you might imagine. And the way we deal with this is we learn to live with it day by day. It doesn't seem to go away. In my opinion, it's a permanent emotional mayhem, as far as I'm concerned.
Is this veterinarian still practicing?
Yes, he is.
Can you tell me what state that this veterinarian is still practicing in?
Florida, South Florida.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, I came from South Florida, Scott. I've told you that. I've lived here for almost 7 years, going 7 years in October. I live in North Georgia, still own a home in Florida, South Florida. And I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and one of my friends from kindergarten, and I'm 60 years old. I was 60 on Valentine's Day, still lives in Buffalo, New York, and says to me, oh, yeah, South Florida, or Florida in general, the sunshine state where shady people live. And I often say that I feel, in my opinion, that scam rescues, the hub is right there in the state of Florida. We are in a time where scamming people is in the multi-billion dollar range. Every day, people will get, and I talk about this to my networking group every Thursday, a call, whether it's pretending to be Amazon and somebody tapped into your account, or they're pretending to be the IRS, that's a famous one, or they're pretending to be, you know, car warranty. It's all a scam. It's all a scam. I have a good friend, a mutual PI friend, that apparently they took a phone number, a Google phone number, somehow got it to this person's website. So when you go to this person's website, private investigator, it shows that number. It shows this number. And they're scamming people and saying, oh, we found that your deceased mother who died 5 years ago, we uncovered money. And they ask for your bank account. And I'm sorry, but the general public, they are way too gullible. Do not believe everything that's told to you. And in the years I've been doing this, it's very sad that when people hear the word rescue, they jump up for joy and think, oh, these people are saving animals. They're wonderful. And when you try to tell them, not so fast, again, the quote I said, sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed. They want to believe in good in everybody, and that's wonderful, but nowadays we live in a whole different world. Scott, I want to let the people know, and again, for those that have a piece of paper and pen in front of you, or write it in your note section of your phone, Facebook page, Joey's Legacy, Seeking Truth and Integrity in Veterinarian Medicine. This is something that everybody should really go to and read up about. We've got somebody still sitting in the queue, but we're going to wait about another 7 more minutes, Scott. What else would you like to share with the audience? I'd like for you to tell them how many people reach out to you on a weekly basis. I thought that was mind-blowing.
I normally get about 2 to 3 phone calls a week. I'm sorry, per day. About 75 per month on average from people all over the country. I get emails from people in the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, Italy, Japan, all over the world, because veterinary malpractice clearly is not an American phenomenon. It occurs where humans live, and that's, of course, all over the world. Humans are veterinarians. Veterinarians are humans. They make misjudgments. They hire people that are unqualified, untrained. In some cases, the front desk person is allowed to perform spay operations poorly, negligently. In many cases, the patient doesn't survive. So it's not just the veterinarian in those practices that I would consider bad actor environments. It's sometimes the vet techs, and sometimes it's the support staff around the practice. Vet boards, there's one in every state. They all, as you mentioned in your opening monologue, they all seem to play by the same, they all seem to go by the same playbook. Disciplinary action is rare and generally reserved for situations where veterinarians either commit criminal acts, where veterinarians use veterinary drugs for personal use, and other egregious everything they do that involves malpractice and negligence, I consider to be egregious, obviously on a relative scale. Using veterinary drugs for personal use is, at a higher level. And as was the case with Joey's vet, that was his third go-round with the Florida Vet Board. And once again, it was a hand slap. They dismissed the first count, which was practice below the standard of care, even though their probable cause committee found probable cause to move forward with a formal complaint, and it went to the assistant general counsel in Tallahassee, who filed a formal complaint. But when it got down to the final hearing, they decided to dismiss the first count, which was the more serious count, and they retained the what I'll paraphrase is sloppy record keeping. They failed to document vital signs, the route and dosage of the convenia that was given, and other irregularities. And for that, the veterinarian got a $1,000 fine, a year probation, and maybe some continuing education. The bottom line is there's no firm and fair discipline, and that's why the bad actors, the serial offenders, continue to offend. They're allowed to continue to practice and reoffend. Mm-hmm. And that's why many of them appear before the vet board multiple times.
Well, Scott, let me ask you a question. Why don't we sue the veterinarian board, the spineless people that sit on the board? Because I'm going to tell you about another case in Florida, which happens to be in South Florida. And his name is a veterinarian named David Green, G-R-E-E-N. Case number is 2018 for the year, 2018-044652, okay? This David Green happens to live in the Boynton Beach area, which is about 40 miles away from where he's allegedly practicing in South Florida. Here's what people need to know in the state of Florida. A rabies vaccination must be given by a veterinarian. That is a law, people. And we know for a fact that they're not being given by David Green, who is a 78-year-old man who's not well. He was put on probation. I think his probation just expired May of this year. Again, 2018. It's all public information, people. You need to do your own research. So he was charged with violation of 474-214, that's a Florida statute. Here's what it says: being guilty of incompetence or negligence by failing to practice medicine with that level of care, skill, and treatment, which is recognized by a reasonably prudent veterinarian as being acceptable under similar conditions and circumstances. And in addition, 474.214, failing to keep what you just mentioned, written medical records as required by rule of the board. So here's the problem that I have with the Florida Bar, the Florida Board, Veterinarian Board. And then we're going to take our first caller. I argued with them back in March. I was in South Florida for 3 weeks, and I argued with the Veterinarian Board, actually not the board, the professional regulations who gives out licenses. And I told them that along with David Green, there is another guy that works along with this scam operation, which is what I call them, and that's exactly what it is. If anybody follows the Broward County docket, you should see that Animal Aid, which is a quote-unquote rescue based in Oakland Park, Florida, Fort Lauderdale area, has been suing two whistleblowers going on 4 years. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you're a whistleblower, guys. Keep it up, because it's working. But what they do, most likely, is what this Animal Aid founder does, is use donation dollars meant for a frivolous lawsuit. It's been going on for 4 years. David Green just happens to be their vet. Now, how is he at 78 years old, give or take, living so far away, able to give rabies certifications, vaccinations, and they get the certificate? Who's giving those vaccinations is the question. Who's giving those vaccinations? A veterinarian in the state of Florida has to give it. So I deal with the Professional Department of License and Regulation. They're based right in Coconut Creek, again, Broward County. And I file a complaint because we've got another character that is working at a place called Total Pet Care Animal Hospital, Oakland Park, Florida. Happens to be adjacent to Animal Aid. How convenient. And people, I believe, think that this guy by the name of Alexander Michaels is a veterinarian. He's not, people. He's not. So who's giving out these rabies vaccinations? Who's doing these procedures? They go and they investigate. The guy's not there. They never called any of my witnesses. They never called me to inquire. They do the least possible. And I'm talking about, yes, the Professional Business of Regulation, Florida. We're talking piggyback onto the Florida Veterinarian Board. It's like nobody gives a damn anymore, and I'm sick of it. And these animals are suffering the price. And if you want to try and shut me up, go for it. If you want to send me a cease and desist, which is nothing but a piece of paper, which lawyers have told me, you can use it for toilet paper, folks. A cease and desist, if you don't know what that is a means to shut you up. It's a means to silence you. It's a means to intimidate you. And yes, and did I get one? I did. Look at this. On June 6th of this year, from some lawyer, I say that term loosely, John H. Wright, I wonder if the partners of the law firm would know what he sent me, because all in it is lies, blatant lies. And we're going to talk about that with the next caller right now. We're going to bring in Jenna's mom, and Jenna was a beautiful dog that is no longer with us. Hold on, I've got four people in the queue, but I've got to look at my number here. And here she is. Here we go. And we're going to bring in the next caller right after her, okay? So let's bring in and welcome Jenna's mom. And unfortunately, Jenna is no longer with us. Welcome to the show. You're on the call with Inspector Burke and Scott Fine from Joey's Legacy.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Shannon. I'm Jenna's mom.
Hey, Shannon.
Should I tell her story or...
Yes, please do. And you know what I'm going to do at the same time? I'm going to bring in the other person who I consider to be a fabulous whistleblower. She's got broad shoulders, a big mouth to blow that whistle, and a spine made of titanium. And I'm going to bring her in, but I'm going to ask her to mute herself, okay? But I'm going to bring her in as well. So, Shannon, go ahead and share your story with us. I'm going to mute myself and everybody else, if you could mute yourself. Shannon, you've got the podium.
Okay. Jenna was my girl, and so she was an older girl. She was about 12 years old when I took her in for this, and she was starting to get some fatty lipoma. She had a fatty lipoma under her stomach that was just causing her to walk a little bit funny, and I wanted to have it removed. I had used Dr. Oliver one other time. She was not my normal vet. Used her one other time for a cat, who ended up, I took up there to see an orthopedic surgeon, and Dr. Oliver had great reviews. She had an orthopedic surgeon that would visit this place. My normal vet did not have this, and this was a feral cat I was trying to save a leg on. I had a great visit then and thought Dr. Oliver was great. Went through all the reviews. Her reviews were glowing. She even got the best in Greensboro, and Greensboro is a big city. So she got the best in Greensboro. I had myself worked in the vet field for 15 years, thought that I knew what I was doing, run a boarding facility. I'm very, very funny about my animals, but I trusted the wrong one, definitely. My cat ended up not having to have any surgery, and that's probably what saved my cat. She went in for surgery on April 13th. and she was released on Wednesday. So 2 days later, she was released. By Saturday the 18th, so she was at home for 3 days. Her stitches were looking nasty, and a place had opened up on her side. It had opened up to about the size of a 50-cent piece, but the skin was turning black around the edges of the surgical site, and I had never really saw that before. I worked in the vet field for 15 years. Sure, we get surgeries that go wrong or get infected, but not start to turn black within 3 days of a surgery. I was a little concerned about this, but this was during COVID. All different protocols were in place because of COVID. On that Saturday, as soon as I noticed that Jenna's little spot had opened up, I called the office and it was closed. I was unsure whether I should take her to an emergency room vet because she had just had the surgery. I didn't know if I should have, you know, Carolina Vet Specialty look at her, try to re-sew this, or wait until Monday. I sent Dr. Oliver a message through Facebook saying what was going on and a picture of this. I ultimately decided because of COVID and the wait time just to wait until Monday and get her in, and I kept it clean from that Saturday until Monday morning. So when I saw it Saturday, it was probably midday. The Benicia Air Animal Hospital had already closed. So I decided to keep it clean. I had her back at the vet office Monday morning at 8 o'clock. They looked at her, and they ended up telling me that it was just opening up a little bit. They wanted to go in and clean it, trim some of the edges away, and suture it back. I understood completely. But Dr. Oliver seemed to, you know, act like I never even talked to her. She sent this message to an employee that Jenna was moving around too much. And I told her, I said, she's not moving around. She'll only take a few steps, go to the bathroom, and then lay back down. But she said she wanted to hold on to her so that she would stay quiet. And I agreed to it. I really had no reason not to trust what a vet is telling me. I had never went through an experience like this in my life, and I hope no one ever has to again. So I dropped her off on the morning of the 20th. On the 23rd, Dr. Oliver had sent me back a Facebook message. She had saw mine from that Saturday finally and responded to it and said, so sorry, I just now saw your message from when I had sent it on Saturday. And she said, you know, Jenna is doing good. I had dropped her off on the 20th, so this message came from Dr. Oliver on the 23rd. She's doing good. She's healing. She's eating. She was hypothyroid, so she said her healing could be slow, so let her hold on to her until Saturday. Again, because of COVID, the protocols, this being an older dog, I trusted them. I called this vet practice 11 times over a 10-day course. You know, I very much want to know what's going on with my dogs. I called and I checked on her every single day. I never talked to Dr. Oliver, but I would always get an employee who would say, let me go ask Dr. Oliver how Jenna's doing. I would hold. They would come back. They would always reassure me. She's eating. She's drinking. She's happy. She is healing. I called on that Saturday, early that Saturday morning, and I said, you know, this is Shannon. I'm calling. What time do I need to pick up Jenna? They came back after they talked to Dr. Oliver and said, Dr. Oliver said that her place is healing in. She wants just a couple more days. She's on course. And I still didn't think anything about it. What vet would go into this profession to try to harm an animal? What vet would go into this profession to have employees lie to me? That never, ever crossed my mind, unfortunately. It never crossed my mind that they would be telling me a completely different story than what was happening to her. So because she was older and because of COVID, I did not go. I went the following Thursday, and I went to go see her. They brought Jenna out. Jenna was all wrapped up. She had saran wrap, ended up being saran wrap wrapped around her body, and then she had vet wrap and bandages wrapped around the rest of her. Her whole entire back leg was wrapped up. When I saw Jenna, she wagged a little bit, but she kind of acted lethargic. I talked to her and loved on her, and I was, of course, sitting outside. You couldn't go in. But I noticed a really, really strong smell on her and, you know, kind of questioned it. One of the girls came outside. She ended up being the next person you're going to talk to, Crystal. She ended up coming outside, and she said, I understand. She kind of leaned up against the building and said, I understand you don't know what's going on. She said, but if you don't get your dog out of here, you know, you're not going to have a dog, basically. I was kind of dumbfounded. It threw me for a complete loop. I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, I said, she smells bad. I said, have they not been changing her correctly? Are they not changing her enough? And she said, you don't understand. She is not caring for her correctly. She said, underneath those bandages, she has let every area that she touched on your dog is gaping open. Her stomach area is gaping open. She is wide open under there. It's just meat. I was dumbfounded. I stood in the parking lot trying to figure out who to believe. You know, I had called 11 times while this dog had been there. Why were they telling me now that this was such a catastrophic thing going on with this dog when I had dropped her off with a 50-cent piece area on her side that just needed to be trimmed and re-sewed? Why were they telling me now that my dog is wide open and has no skin on her stomach? She said, I need to go get the vet, and you just need, she said, no matter what she tells you, you need to get her out of here today, she said, or she's going to die. I still was torn on who to believe. I've worked in the vet field for years. I've worked with very passionate, loving vets. What I have never, ever, ever been faced with in my life is a vet that would lie to your face. She came outside, Dr. Oliver came outside, and she ended up telling me that she starts out, first of all, I asked her why Jenna was not cleaned. I said, you know, in the vet that I worked at, every morning we take care of the hospitalized animals. I said, why does she smell so bad? I'm still not kind of believing what they're telling me, that her skin's hanging open under there. I'm thinking this is just a case of a nasty bandage. I said, why has she not been cleaned? It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon when I had went up there, because I had went to get Jenna some stuff before I went up there. It was 1 o'clock, and Dr. Oliver looked at me, and she said, she hasn't been cleaned today. She'll be cleaned this afternoon when I get done with surgery. And I said, all hospitalized animals are took care of first thing in the morning. That would be like, you know, going to the hospital and nobody takes care of you until that night. And she said, she'll get clean when she gets clean. And so she would go back and forth from acting hostile, acting into, I said, I want to take her for a second opinion. Then she would try to talk me into leaving Jenna. She would say, she looked right at me and she said, I said, I want to take her to Carolina Vet Specialty. I've used them before. I want to take her there. She looked right at me and she said, all emergency vets are not doing wound care. And she said, you can't take her anywhere right now. I'm the only one doing wound care. Well, it kind of really struck me as this woman is flat out lying. There is no way, as big as Greensboro is, that nobody else is doing wound care. So she went back and forth. Then she told me, she looked at me and she said, your dog cannibalized herself while it was in the animal hospital. I said, what?
I'm sorry. I got to jump in here, Shannon. And I don't mean to interrupt you, because this is just so upsetting to hear. I hear it in your voice. You and I have never spoken prior to you calling in today. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I'm trying to get through it.
It's okay. We need your voice. Because at Banfield in Rhode Island, Johnston, Rhode Island, doesn't fire this mean monster shown on video kicking a dog, then shame on Banfield. And if Banfield, who I copied on my email, if they don't do something, then we're going to go to the Mars Corporation, which is the family that owns Banfield. They're worth about $80 billion. Just Google it, guys. The candy bars, Snickers, Google it. And if they're not aware, shame on them, because I'm sure somebody out there has a heart and some compassion. But when you have the Janine Olivers, spelled J-A-N-I-N-E, Oliver, bullying, lying to your face, along with her partner, she's another witch, in my opinion, Diana Singleton. And everybody, I encourage you to look for the Banfield Pet Hospital located in Johnston, Rhode Island, their Facebook page review section. I'm listed there. And they will try to intimidate you and bully you. Shannon, I want to hear, I'm going to give you another minute to try to, I'm going to segue then into Crystal, who's waiting, and there's other people in the queue waiting. But you're doing a good job, and I wish I could give you a hug. I'm giving you a hug over the phone. We need to do this for Jenna, Scott. I mean, no, thank you, because unfortunately there's another vet that I was told about practicing in Greensboro, which, by the way, folks, Greensboro, North Carolina, which is where Shannon's talking about, they washed their hands of Janine Oliver because she just, you know, she surrendered her license, and she's up there in Rhode Island. Yeah, and they're trying to shut us up by sending a cease and desist. Go ahead, Shannon, finish your story, hon.
Anyway, she told me that my dog cannibalized herself, which ended up, the employees ended up telling me differently, that she was just telling me that to cover herself. I'll try to go through it faster so you can talk. She told me I didn't care for my dog properly, or why would she have opened back up? And I told her, I said, her stitches were black around the edges. I said, they were necrotic. So she ended up, she would turn hostile acting, and then she'd try to talk me into leaving Jenna. Then she told me, I'm healing your dog. Why would I say different? What would I have to gain? Then she told me, and when I asked her why Jenna smelled so bad, she told me she smelled because she peed and pooped and laid in it, that I was wrong. I wasn't smelling infection. And I said, I know what pee and poop smells like. I have a boarding kennel. I said, this is not that. She is smells rotten. She smelled absolutely rotten. So she told me, you know, she wanted me to leave the dog. She would come back on Monday, that I should come back on Monday, and she'd show me how to clean Jenna. And I just kind of nodded at her because at this point I wanted her to leave so I could get Jenna in my vehicle. At this point, she also told me that any other vet would euthanize Jenna. That actually was probably the only accurate statement that she told me, because after I saw the catastrophic wound that Jenna had and the care she had received while she had been there, the so-called care, she was accurate in that statement. Any other vet would have euthanized her. I just did not have any clue what she was talking about at the time when she told me this. It was just in the twilight zone. The office manager ended up coming outside. Crystal went back in. The office manager come out, and I said, can you please tell me if you would take this dog out of this care? She's telling me she can cure my dog. She's healing my dog, and I have no clue what's going on. The office manager looked at me and said, I could lose my job. And I looked at her, and I said, I could lose my dog. And she said, get her out of here. Crystal and office manager and me, we loaded Jenna up. I got out of there. I called CVS in Greensboro, and I said, I am removing my dog from this vet. She has been there for 10 days under this vet's care. I need to get her in right away. They worked on her for 5 solid hours. If you ever look at Jenna's disgusting picture on Facebook, they worked on her for 5 hours and cleaned her. They rewrapped her. I still did not see what she looked like. So when they brought her back out, they recommend euthanasia. It was going to be $10,000 to $12,000 for wound backs to start. And they said they did not give her a good prognosis. I said, I'm not putting her to sleep. I still couldn't see any of this. It was during COVID. They rewrapped everything. They brought her back out after she had spent 5 hours at CVS. They cleaned her, gave her morphine, all kinds of stuff. I made another appointment the following morning with a vet down here. When I brought Jenna home for one night, she was very glad to be home, and I was so thankful to have her home one night, so she didn't think that nobody came back for her. But that was the last thing that she remembered, was being up there for those 10 days. When I took her the next morning, I saw the catastrophic area and knew. Even one of the people at the vet board told me that if I'd have had $1 million, probably couldn't have saved her. I'll leave just one more thing with y'all as to what she did to Jenna, and this is the worst thing. The employee told me that she would put Jenna in a tub every single day as her skin was dying from whatever bad infection, bad surgery, tools not cleaned properly, I'm not sure what. But she would put her in a tub and trim her dead and dying skin off of her with no pain medication while she was awake. So we have went to court about a few things. Her wife has went up to me in court and said, this isn't over. I agree. they like to bully and they like to push you around. It's not over. Because I want people not to remember the bad thing about Jenna, but to remember that somebody on this side loved Jenna. And I will try to fight for her. That daughter Oliver can't do this to anybody else's daughter.
Shannon,
I'm not getting anything out of this. I just won't.
I know.
Justice.
I know. And we're going to help you, okay? We're going to help you. There's a lot of people listening to this. Probably the evil one herself, in my opinion, Janine Oliver and the wife, Diane Singleton,
yeah.
Both are heartless individuals. And to hear your story, if anybody doesn't have compassion after listening to Shannon's story, shame on you, okay? Shame on you, John Wright, who aligned himself with a monster, in my opinion. And I'm going to read this cease and desist because I'm not afraid of a lawsuit. Stand in line. I will always fight for these people like Shannon. And I know Sandy's waiting on the line, justice for Buffy. But before I bring Crystal in, there's somebody that I don't know if they're just listening in, you guys. It's area code 570. It's only fair. I'm going to hear Crystal's story. Shannon, stay on the phone as long as you can. Mute yourself, if you will. I'm going to bring in 570. I don't know. If it's another story, then I'm going to have them go back on hold because I think we need to segue over to Crystal. Hold on. Let's bring in area code 570, area code 570.
Hi, my name is
All right,
Jennifer.
570. Hi.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Johnson. I live in Auburn, Maine. I didn't realize it was even in your queue. I called in to listen because Scott had posted the information on Joey's legacy, so I called in, but I am a victim. My dog is also a victim. I lost my 6-year-old Newfoundland in January due to negligence by Maine Veterinary Medical Center in Scarborough. I don't need to discuss Amelia's story because I know you have other people waiting. I was really, truly calling to listen in, and I do want to extend my condolences to all these people. But I would love to talk to you at another time about Amelia's case, if that would be possible.
Okay. Of course. I do this on my own time and dime. I know Scott does as well. I don't make any money off of this, okay? Just having Blog Talk Radio cost me $40 a month, whether I use it or not. So whether or not this attorney, I use that term loosely, tries to tell me that I'm in it for financial gain, it says here, additionally, we will be looking to examine your financial statements from your connection with Inspector Bark, as we suspect that you may have profited financially from your actions. You know, this is why lawyers get a bad name. Because of crappy ones like this guy, in my opinion. And I am stating my First Amendment right. You know what? I love dealing with attorneys like this guy because he never did his due diligence. He ran with this so-called, and I don't even put the name doctor in front of it. Sorry. Janine Oliver, when I saw her kick that dog, I thought, what the hell type of monster is this? And if you enjoy watching an animal suffer, you are in the wrong business. Somebody, I don't know, I saw it written in the review that maybe she should take a job working in the sanitation department and emptying garbage bins. So if you want to take your anger out, throw the garbage bin to the curb because you don't belong in veterinary medicine. And if Banfield Hospital doesn't do anything, we will take it to the Mars family. Trust me on that, guys, okay? But we're going to do it as a team. Tell me, area code 570, what was Amelia? How old was Amelia, the Newfoundland?
Yeah, she was only 6 years old. She would have been 7 in March.
Where did this happen? Because you were choked.
Oh,
where?
I'm sorry. It happened at Maine Veterinary Medical Center in Scarborough, Maine. That's not actually where she died, but she died just days after being discharged, after we were told she had quote-unquote gas. I took her to her primary vet because she was very sick one morning. We got her in the car, got inside the door. She laid down on the floor. Her head flopped onto my husband's feet, and she was gone. She died at her feet on the floor on a dirty floor mat. just days after being discharged from an emergency mm-hmm. vet who told us mm-hmm. that she had mobility issues and gas. And that was her second visit there. It's a long, it's a very long story that started in November of 2021. But I, you know, I had a vet review done by Joey's legacy vet, and she did document negligence. I mean, there were things that happened there. I got all the vet notes, the vet tech notes. They were letting her lay in her urine. They were calling her stubborn. This is written in the vet notes, calling my dog stubborn. She was 160 pounds when she was healthy. So she couldn't get up. She was weak. It was slick floors. We had her in a harness. We told them, you need to help this dog stand to get her under her, get her on her feet and get her outside. She was on prednisone. She had to pee a lot. We took her out every hour at home, but they called her out in their notes for laying in her own urine and not moving out of the way. She couldn't. She was actually dying. We didn't know this, but she was dying. They sent home a dying dog. And then she literally died, collapsed through a clot, we think, at her feet on the floor.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And thank you for letting me speak. Again, I wasn't, my intentions were not.
It's okay. It's okay. You know, I can put you back in the queue, or you can listen, but just mute yourself, because I do have to have Crystal come on, and I do have justice for Buffy. What do you want to do? Do you want to mute yourself and stay on, or do you want to go back in the queue?
Okay. Yes, please let the others speak. Thank you so much.
Okay. I'm going to put you back in the queue, okay? Okay, you're back in the queue, so you can still hear us. Crystal, is it okay with you? You've been waiting patiently. I've got Sandy, and I know she's working, and she's probably in her car. I'm going to have Sandy come on, who is the justice for Buffy. This is the vet I was telling you about that's still practicing in Palm Beach Gardens. Are you okay with that, Crystal? Can I bring her in and let her share? Okay, thank you so much. Okay, let me bring in area code 561, area code 561. And anytime, Scott, you want to unmute yourself and jump in, please feel free to do so. Hey, Sandy, you're on the air with Inspector Bark. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Inspector Bark, and thank you, Scott. And all you're doing with Joey's legacy and exposing and shining a light into these dark, evil clues. I'm sorry, I'm a little emotional after listening to Shannon's story. I was starting off strong in the queue, but after hearing what her dog went through and what they did to Jenna, I mean, you know, I wish Dr. Rob was on here right now, but maybe some other future show you can have him. And I'm here to talk about Buffy and what happened to her, but I do want to mention that Buffy's best friend, Daisy, who was also young and healthy until she went to a vet's office, and it wasn't even the vet that gave her the rabies shot. It was a tech who I heard later that's not even legal to do. But 30 minutes after the rabies shot, Daisy was paralyzed and never walked again. And I didn't put her down. I lifted her and I expressed her bladder and did whatever I had to do, as long as she wasn't in pain and she was happy and she was eating. And that went on for about 2 years, and then she wasn't happy anymore. I can't tell you how many vets I took her to. Everybody said she wasn't in pain, and she didn't look like she was in pain, and she was eating. You know, even my friends, put the dog down, put the dog down. I said, do you kill your mother because she can't walk? I mean, no. I put up a thing with the shepherd with a wheelchair on Facebook. It's help them, don't kill them. But when she wasn't happy anymore and she didn't want to eat, I ended up euthanizing her. She was only 6 years old, but it was, you know, she was 4 years old when she got that rabies shot by an employee and not even the doctor, and never walked again. So, you know, I think the world of Dr. Rob, and I stand up for him 100% because he cares about the pets, and he's got a movement, Protect the Pets. But I want to
Sandy,
talk about
let me
Buffy
jump in here, Sandy, because Sandy, let me jump in here because a lot of people don't know who Dr. Rob is. Dr. Rob, spelled R-O-B-B, has fought, like she said, vigorously for these animals. And again, let me repeat, and you may not have missed, you may have missed it, Sandy, in the state of Florida, which is where Buffy lived, in the state of Florida, a veterinarian has to give the rabies shot, people. And I know for a fact that they have people that are not licensed veterinarians in areas of South Florida that are giving these cats and dogs a rabies vaccination. It is wrong, it's illegal, and look what happened to Buffy. Justice for Buffy on Facebook. Sandy, I'm going to give you about another minute and a half because I know it's already past the second hour, going into the second hour. Go ahead and say what else you want to say.
Let me talk about
please.
Buffy. I had every intention of breeding Buffy from day one. In fact, Jaffe, it's Jaffe Animal Hospital in Palm Beach Gardens. I mean, he even did the, we did the OFA certification on the hips, whatever, made sure if I bought puppies in this world that they were 100% healthy. And he talked me into spaying her. A spay, from what I hear, takes 45 minutes to an hour. Buffy was young and healthy. She had just turned four, but she hadn't lived the fourth year. She just, she lived 3 years. And he butchered her. She was on that table from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till after closing. And when he took her off the table, I was like, I saw dead dogs that didn't look that bad. Her eyes were all glazed over. She was out of it. I ran out to the car to get glasses for 1 second and ran right back in. And she went from not being like lethargic and unconscious to sitting up and looking at me. And I just said, what did you give her? And she got nervous when you left. Well, I heard from other people he reversed the drug or something. But the long and the short of it is I use that vet for my dog for about 15 years and stupidly trusted him. And I won't even call him a doctor. I don't care what title the board lets him have. When I found out and what happened to Buffy, and they had a Freedom of Information Act in Florida, I learned that this guy had a decade of previous suspensions. The court certified transcripts, which cost me a fortune. It's all on Justice for Buffy's page on Facebook. They threw the book at him at the first hearing, permanently revoked his license. He had done enough wrong, decade of previous suspensions, lost his DEA license for mishandling narcotics and every other thing. And then, 3 months later at the next hearing, because they have them every 3 months, they turned around and changed the permanent revocation to a 50-year suspension. Well, I'm okay with that. That's okay. At least there's some justice here. But then in a matter of months, all in less than a calendar year, he's back in business, And you try to find these records. I went to every hearing, not just the hearings about Buffy. I went to all the hearings, and I went to hearings in other states, and I have watched the injustice down and down and down. And so the state or the board's failure to protect the unsuspecting public and our innocent pets has resulted in not just accidental deaths. I'm talking about, I believe that they are sadistic, narcissistic, and they actually send animals home so you can watch them die. Because he said to me, well, how'd it feel to watch your dog bleed to death, And, you're not going to pay me off. I'll die in the streets homeless before I'll take blood money. You're not going to shut me up. So go ahead and threaten me, offer me whatever you want. I said to the state one time, the professional regulations, I said, hey, I'm drunk and I kill somebody, and I come back here and say I gave up drinking. Are you going to give me my driver's license? I mean,
good point.
How many animals
Sandy, everything you're saying is spot on. Everything you're saying is spot on. But one more time before I bring Crystal on, say the name again of this doctor who's practicing in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, which is in West Palm Beach. What is his first name?
It's Jaffe Animal Hospital. The guy's name is Richard Jaffe. It's in PGA National on PJ Boulevard in Palm Beach Gardens, and I had used them for a lot of dogs for 15 years. I referred them to my customers. I, told everybody how great I thought he was, and Buffy had the most horrible, the vet that did the autopsy told me he tranquilized it with Valium and Ket or something or other, and he said when the tranquilizers wear off, the muscles tightened, pain was magnified over if you had nothing. And she was on that table for hours. Didn't even give her IVs, fluids, nothing.
Let me just wrap this up because time is ticking. But you're telling me, I heard you, you don't have to repeat yourself, that he had a long history. So now we've got this veterinarian, David Green. We've got this guy, Jaffe. We've got the guy that allegedly killed Joey, Scott, all in Florida. And there you got the Florida Veterinarian Board. I'm telling you, Scott, we should sue every one of those members on the board that are spineless. Sandy, I've got to go. I've got to let you go. If you want to stay on, I'll put you back in the queue. You are wonderful people. Facebook page, Justice for Buffy, please. The hearings are on there. I've looked at it. It's very disturbing. Sandy, keep fighting the fight. Thank you for your voice. And let me go ahead and put you back in the queue and continue listening. If you need to hang up, just go ahead and listen. But we've got to get the podium over to Crystal. So before Crystal starts speaking, everybody, I really, really admire this young gal. Her story has not changed, okay? Her story has not changed. I've spoken to her many times, and she has really done a great job. Unfortunately, she had to see animals like Jenna suffer upon the hands of Janine Oliver. And mark my words, guys, before the 2 o'clock hour, I am going to read that cease and desist. I give the floor now to Crystal.
Hey, I just wanted to start out, Shannon, and let you know that I'm sorry about Jenna. She didn't deserve to get through what she went through with Dr. Oliver. I started working with Dr. Oliver in 2014. And when I first started working with her, she was a good vet. She seemed to care about the animals. It wasn't all about money. It seemed to practice good medicine. But as time went, things changed. Financially, she was kind of having some financial hardships, and we started seeing her, the way she practiced with animals were different. She was attempting to do orthopedic surgeries that she wasn't certified to do. She would watch videos while she was in surgery, trying to figure out how to place a pin or place a plate in the dog's leg. And we would have the before x-rays and we would have the after x-rays, and you could look at them and see that obviously these pins and plates were where they were supposed to be in these animals' legs. But here I am, a technician that's not licensed. You know, what do I really know? So I started kind of researching on my own, comparing notes, you know, looking at what an actual surgery should look like, and knew in my heart that they were wrong. So I started reaching out to North Carolina Vet Board in January of 2020 regards to some of the orthopedic surgeries that she was performing. They agreed that things didn't necessarily look right, but told me at that time that basically owners had to be the ones that filed a complaint. You know, that me as a technician and not being licensed, I couldn't just come to them. Moving forward, there was a lot of cases of, you know, animals that weren't being taken care of in the hospital, her using the same pack on multiple pets. There were days that we would use one pack for, say, 10 spay and neuters. She would switch the blades out, but at the same time, they're still, you know, the same pet's blood on each instrument going into another pet, and animals kept coming back with infections. They would question Dr. Oliver, and she would make up lies as far as, you know, the infection that they rolled in mold or they got into this or they got into that, and that's why these wounds were infected. With right before Jenna's case, I reached out to the vet board over what I felt like was a major issue. She left the office and left the dog under anesthesia that was having a mass removal. And I was in the back doing a dental on a cat with extractions, which I was not licensed to do, but did what I was told as a tech to go back there and do this dental. Another uncertified technician was watching the dog that she left under anesthesia for mass removal, and she left the hospital to go get fitted for a tux for her wedding. About 15 minutes after she left, this dog, Clyde was his name, died on the surgery table. The tech that was helping ran in there to tell me. I left the cat that was under dental under supervision of someone else that was in the kennel area because there was no certified staff member there to watch the cat. And I go in there, we attempt Ascine and epinephrine, called Dr. Oliver, showed us to continue the CPR that we were doing for about 10 more minutes. And if the dog didn't respond to cut the oxygen off, and she would handle it when she got back. So she got back probably 45 minutes after that, and she continued to take the mask off of this dog's leg so that she could send it out to Rollins for pathology so that she could charge the owners, and told the owners that he died from the anesthesia complication as he was waking up, which was not true. So there again, the board told us that, you know, hey, the owners need to come forward. Thanks for letting us know, kind of thing. But, you know, unless it's an animal abuse situation, you know, you can't really get anybody involved. We contacted, well, another employee contacted the owner, told him what happened. She did, and Dr. Oliver did find out that this employee reached out to the owner. They lost their job. The owners ultimately ended up believing Dr. Oliver and her story, quiet, because we knew, I'll speak for myself. Based on what the vet board told me, you have to have enough of a case of an animal abuse before you can bring authorities in to have something done. So right after that, Shannon brought Jenna into the hospital. And you could tell from day one when Jenna's wound was opening up that it was going to end up as a nasty infection because it was already septic on the outside of it. And each day, for the first 2 days, Dr. Oliver would attempt to shove Manuka honey up in the wound as her type of treatment and then shove a dry gauze behind it. Well, the wound continued to open up, and we had a couple of relief vets that would come in and out during the week because she was out of the hospital, and I had sent Dr. Oliver a message, could I have another relief vet to look at Jenna's wound, because at that time what was the 50-cent piece was now bigger than a baseball. And Dr. Oliver's text message said, absolutely not. Do not have anyone look at my pet's case. So I reached out to the board. I told Todd Shadler at the board what she said. I sent it to the, at that time, a corporation had bought us. I sent it to them. And the corporation's response was, well, hopefully the vet board will do something to get rid of her. The vet board's response was, an owner has to come forth. But, you know, she's still putting Manuka honey in it, so it's not animal abuse. She's attempting some type of wound management. So for 10
days. Can I stop you right there? First of all, why would you put Manuka honey in a wound? And they're saying as long as she's attempting to the dog, then it's okay? Clarify that for me.
Yep, as long as some type of medical treatment is being performed, because I eventually did get an animal control officer, or I had a Greensboro police officer came in. As long as they are attempting some type of wound management, it doesn't matter if it's something that every veterinarian would do. She practiced Eastern and Western medicine, so she did believe in herbal therapy, aromatherapy. So the Manuka honey was, it supposedly has its own natural healing components to it. So she would put the Manuka honey up in the wound. But in Jenna's case and any other cases I ever saw her do, it did not work. The wound just continued to get worse. But that's
and
why
she didn't want a relief. She did not want a relief veterinarian to look at the wound. What is your opinion why she wouldn't want another vet to look at this wound?
Because she knew what she had done was wrong, and this dog was already Jenna was already septic. I mean, she didn't want to see else to see the mistakes that she had made. She was trying to cover it up.
Wow.
But
I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right.
I went off of what the veterinary board told me, that we need proof. We got to have proof. We need time, dated stamps, photos, videos, whatever. We have to have it. That's the proof you have to have, Crystal. That's what I kept getting over and over. We got to have proof. This ain't enough proof. What this picture of this dog's leg, not enough. We got to have it. So I stuck sticky notes on poor Jenna's little body every day saying, okay, this is what it looks like here and here. So for 10 days, it went from the 50-cent piece to the size of a basketball. And finally, Animal Patrol even came in, or the police department, Animal Patrol came in and said, it's not animal abuse. She's treating the wound. The vet board, the animals, the owners have come forward. And I did. When Shannon came that day, I walked out and I told her. She asked me why Jenna smelt the way she did. And I told her she needs to speak to Dr. Oliver, but that I felt like she needed a second opinion because if she didn't take Jenna out, Jenna was going to die. And I'm grateful that she took her. I hate that I waited too long. I blame myself every day for what Dr. Oliver did to these pets. Because I tried to do what was right based on what the board told me I needed to do to have the proof to finally put a stop to her, because and their responses, everything else wouldn't have been a pop on the hand. And animal abuse, there's a fine line crossed between malpractice, a pop on the hand, and animal abuse. And, you know Mozart's case where she pulled all of his teeth out. She left his incisors. So a healthy dog, I reported, teeth out after grabbing him by his throat and throwing him in a cage. She can pull every tooth in his mouth, but as long as she leaves the incisors, it's not considered a police report stating that these were healthy teeth. They were not cracked and broken, which is what she tried to lie and say at first why she removed those teeth, but they had proof of otherwise. They just couldn't get her for animal abuse for that situation.
Well, it sounds like they give a lifeline, and I talk about this here in Georgia, they give a lifeline to the vet. And what I mean by a lifeline, like they're throwing a lifeline out and saying, okay, we're gonna let you slide one more time. Okay, here's another lifeline. Here's another lifeline. What about the lifeline for these animals? And that's what I'm tired of, these spineless people that sit on these veterinarian boards. And Scott, I need you to chime in here because you have more experience. But I will tell you, I called this veterinarian I don't know if he's the executive director of the state of North Carolina. His first name is Tad, T-A-D. His last name is Chandler. And everybody that got my email, you will see that some of those emails that I copy are purposely exposed. I want to show I'm contacting people that are affiliated with the government entity of Johnston, Rhode Island. I'm copying North Carolina Veterinarian Board because they dropped the ball. We know they dropped the ball because this Janine Oliver came from Florida with a history. And, you know, I am so tired of lazy, incompetent people that don't care. And this Chandler called me back. I was at the gym. I remember that. And it's almost like nobody had the heart to tell him he was dead because he had this very flat affect. He spoke like this. No voice inflection whatsoever. So I said to him, I said, you know, it's really upsetting to me that I'm seeing and hearing so many cases throughout the country of bad veterinarian practice. And we talked about Janine Oliver, and he told me, you can go to the website and check here. I mean, flat affect. No emotion whatsoever. And I said, you know, it's really upsetting that I'm seeing more and more of these cases. And again, in my email, we talked about justice for Buffy, justice, here's another story, justice for Millie Daphnis. And that dog, listen to this, allegedly the vet wanted his receptionist to do surgery. He was training his receptionist to do surgery on Millie. And according to the necropsy, which is the autopsy for canines, Millie bled to death. It's all in my email. I give you all the links. So this, whatever, I guess he's a doctor too, this Tad Chandler. Again, he sounded like he was dead. No voice. You got to mute yourself, people. Whoever is doing that noise, please don't do that. Mute yourself. So anyhow, I say this to him, like, gosh, it's really upsetting. And all of a sudden, there's silence. There's silence. So I'm silent. I'm waiting for him to speak. And he says, is there anything else you need? And I'm like, whoa, this guy needs some coffee. But I'll tell you, and this is what I often say, and I say it about these rescues that, in my opinion, are just using these animals for financial pawns, emotionally detached, they are completely removed and totally desensitized. Listen to that again. They become emotionally detached, they become completely removed and totally desensitized. And that's what I believe is occurring, in my opinion, with this Janine Oliver. And she really needs to step aside. And if Banfield, again, I can't say it enough, please do your due diligence. And if she bullies you and threatens you, because these people will stop at no cost, you are affecting what? You're affecting their bottom line. You're affecting their pocketbook. She's got the partner who she ran out to go get fitted for her tux, leaving an animal on the surgical table. Who does that? Well, apparently Janine Oliver does. Before you come back on, Crystal, keep muted. I'm going to read this cease and desist. Scott, is there anything you want to jump in on? We got a half hour left of the show.
Kind of jump in real quick on the vet board issue. You know, we went to Joey's final hearing where the vet was given his quote-unquote punishment. And during lunch break, we happened to run into one of the board members who was there's two consumer advocates and five veterinarians on the board. No need for five veterinarians. You need one, because all you're doing when there's five veterinarians out of seven members is you're guaranteeing a biased outcome in favor of the veterinarian. So the pet parent has almost no chance. One of the consumer advocates that we ran into, who's really just they're just wolves in sheep's clothing. They think like vets and they vote with the vets. They're definitely not consumer advocates, at least the ones that we ran into. I said, it seems like you give everybody a break here, because Joey's vet was, his case was toward the end of the session. And she looked at me and she said, well, what do you want us to do, suspend every veterinarian? Who's going to take care of the animals? So I just walked away. When you're dealing with that kind of stupidity, why even bother continuing the conversation? But that's part of the mentality, Darcy. They don't see see pets as what they unfortunately are seeing by every state as property, and they just don't elevate them to the level they should be. And so you got to deal with that crap, with that mentality, which unfortunately may never change.
So you're telling me
you
said this comment to a board member of the Florida Veterinarian Board?
Absolutely.
And you got to repeat this again, because I believe what you're telling me.
Joey's vet was, I don't know, there was 14 vets that day that were there to hear their sentence. I think Joey's vet was number 12 or 13. So we were able to sit and listen to all the cases ahead. And nobody got any real punishment. It's, you know, $1,000 fine, don't do it again, public reprimand, which no one knows where to find anyway, unless you know where to look. And a little year or two probation, and then some continuing education. That's the punishment, whether it's your first time or your fifth time. You know, they don't normally, punishment doesn't increase based on the number of times you've violated the Veterinary Practice Act. And one of the first cases was a veterinarian who was a vet 30-some-odd years, rural part of Florida, right in the middle of Florida. Not another vet for 10 miles, 12 miles. He went on vacation to Georgia, and his vet tech called him from his office and said, we've got a dog here that needs bladder surgery. What do you want me to do? So the vet decided to, direct the vet tech over the phone, you know, make an incision here, do this, do that. Of course, the patient didn't survive. Complaint was filed, and that, along with two other incidents, were reported. So the state of Florida decided to merge the three rather than each case standing on its own merits. The one of the board members, Dr. Partridge, who was a great vet, and he was probably the only one on the Florida board that really would stand up, would call out the vets when he thought it was appropriate. He basically reviewed the records of that one case I just mentioned. He said, you know what, sir, I've reviewed the records of this case, and I don't think you know what the blank you're doing, right out in front of everybody. Nevertheless, the vet did get, $10,000 or $12,000 fine, 3 or 4 years probation, tons of continuing education. Although he should have been suspended or maybe revoked at that point for no. And his comment to Dr. Partridge was, you know what, this is the first time that ever happened. So he was doing surgeries over the phone or from a remote location with his vet tech when necessary. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. And that's right in the Florida board minutes from December 2018. He's one of the first cases they mentioned.
Scott, talk about the doctor that was leaving Indiana and going to Florida. Share that, and then I've got to get Crystal back on here, and I got to read this cease and desist. Indiana,
This was a situation where this particular vet was the Indiana Vet Board suspended her license for 99 years. I was notified by one of the members of my group that she had recently moved to Florida and was trying to set up shop. I did my due diligence. I confirmed that information. She had applied for a DVM on the myfloridalicense.com website. I contacted my contact at the DBPR, and I advised her of the situation. Within 2 days, the application was withdrawn. So to their credit, and I don't say this very often, to their credit, they did respond quickly to prevent a troubled veterinarian from setting up shop in Florida. Ditto for a veterinarian from Louisiana about 3 or 4 months later. So, when it comes to, screening their vets before they're admitted to Florida, I think they do a good job, at least they did in my two cases that I just mentioned. But of course, when things go bad, nobody home. They turn a blind eye and they don't care. They don't discipline like they should. And that's why we have this problem we have. Basically, that's what it is. There's no disciplinary action that's doled out, that needs to be doled out, to try to deter future conduct. And that's why you have all these habitual offenders.
Yes, and that's exactly what they are. I mentioned in the body of my email, and I know it was lengthy, but there's a lot of information in there to read. I write, after case number 4, which is Joey's legacy, I wrote, why are state veterinarian boards not sharing among each other in all 50 states when they have a vet that takes a plea deal, is what I like to refer to it as. It's simply a means where the vet board has the irresponsible vet, in my opinion, surrender, quote unquote, their license. Guess what happens next? That particular vet moves several hundred miles away to set up shop elsewhere in the United States of America, as in the example of the ex-vet Pentris Madden, and that is the gentleman that left Nevada and went to North Miami. 22 years, guys, 22 years in prison. But you know what? This is why we need groups like Joey's Legacy. This is why we need groups like Justice for Buffy, Justice for Millie. Let me read to you. And again, we're at 30-minute mark, and it's going by too fast. I'm going to read to you this, in my opinion, bogus cease and desist that I got from this John Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. He's located in Greensboro, North Carolina. So, John, if you want to sue me, you better be practicing in the state of Florida because you got to come to Georgia. I'm here in Georgia. Might go down to Florida and maybe after this heat wave. But, you can send it all the cease and desist you want. it's not going to stop me from fighting for these animals, okay? And Janine Oliver or Diane Singleton, the wife, if you guys are listening, if you want to sue me, you come to Georgia. I'm ready for another lawsuit. Doesn't intimidate me at all. So my address is listed. My full name is Darcel M. Butkus. That's my real name. I go by Darcy. And it says, regarding, cease and desist all actions against Dr., cough, cough, sarcasm inserted. I did that. Janine Oliver. Ms. Butkus, this firm has been retained by Dr. Janine Oliver in connection to a series of events that you have perpetrated against her. Upon information and belief, you have been engaged in a systemic campaign to interfere with Dr. Oliver's profession at the direction of a disgruntled ex-employee of Dr. Oliver's business. And I'll stop right there. By the way, they always use that word, disgruntled, either an employee or a volunteer. Yeah, they all, again, playbook, they all use the same one. Let me continue. It appears that you have been posting content regarding Dr. Oliver that has been fabricated by this disgruntled employee and posting pictures that she has supplied to you, which in fact come from animal abuse websites and are not in any way related to any care that Dr. Oliver has provided. Stop right there. I'm sure Shannon can say otherwise about her dog, Jenna. Let me continue. As a private investigator, it is disappointing that you did not verify the claims being made against Dr. Oliver, which you could easily have done by reviewing all state record complaints against her, which were all dismissed. A full disclosure agreement was signed with the North Carolina Veterinary Medical Board. All of the information you seem to have gathered in your postings are badly misinformed, hearsay at best. For instance, in the post on May 14, 2022, your, quote-unquote, Inspector Bark Facebook page that you control, you post information about Dr. Oliver, as well as attribute photos to her, which were taken from animal abuse website. And further, you associate her with bestiality and child porn. Someone in your profession should be well aware how these types of statements are unlawful. We hereby demand that you furnish us with proof that Dr. Oliver is engaged in bestiality and child porn, as you have alleged. We also demand that you provide us with evidence of the sources of your posted material about Dr. Oliver. We believe that these sources came from protected information from client files that were not authorized by clients to be disclosed by any party. I have been instructed to prepare and exploit all options available against you at law in response to your actions. There are many causes of action that your behavior warrants at law, and should you force us to litigate this issue, then it is our intention to pursue them against you. You are hereby commanded to delete any fake profiles that you may be operating for the purpose of defaming Dr. Oliver, as well as delete any content that you have posted about her on any social media. You are commanded to refrain from any future postings concerning Dr. Oliver. You are further commanded to cease any and all communications with Dr. Oliver, her family members, or her employer. A failure to comply with these directions by June 20th, 2022, shall be seen as an invitation to take further actions to prevent your unlawful behavior. Furthermore, we demand that every instance of defamatory language you have posted on any social media or other publications be replaced with a retraction explaining that your posts are not truthful and explaining that you got pictures from stock images, as we have determined. Finally, you are commanded and advised to preserve and not destroy any records, pictures, accounts, profiles, any types of records or recordings that you may have of this incident, including but not limited to any statements, video, accounts, or anything else which may be related to this matter. Additionally, we will be looking to examine your financial statements from your connection with, quote-unquote, Inspector Bark, as we suspect that you may have profited financially from your actions. This will be your only warning before legal actions taken against you if you do not comply with the demands in this letter. Yours very truly, John H. Wright. He is with HMN Law Firm, which stands for Hicks, McDonald, Noker, LLP in Greensboro, North Carolina. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Attorney Man, okay, you didn't do your due diligence, buddy. You took the word of a monster, and you're accusing me of defamatory statements? And by the way, Go to May 14th, everybody, my Facebook page, Inspector Bark. I shared that post. And I alluded to Madden, who's going to spend 22 years in prison for child porn and bestiality. He is a he, and Oliver is a she. So get your facts right. And this is where I can't stand shady attorneys, because there's a bunch of them out there, and they do it for what? They do it for the money and greed. And yes, in my opinion, John Wright, you're an idiot of an attorney. And with that note, Scott, we've got to hand it back over to Crystal. We've got about 17 minutes. Is there something more, Scott, before I go on?
No, let Crystal have the time, sure.
Okay, Crystal, before I forget, I will say to people, again, I do not make a dime off of this. I spend hours talking to people like Crystal. I don't make a dime. But if you want to throw me a bone, you can find me on PayPal at Inspector Bark or Venmo at Inspector Bark, because I do this for the animals. And let's face it, dog, spelled backwards, is God. Okay? These are animals that have been brought on this earth that bring us joy, and we love them unconditionally, but there's a lot of evil people out there. And as Scotty said, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. On that note, I'm going to let you take over, Crystal.
All right. As you know, I also received the same letter from that attorney's office. Just the wordings are a little different. I'm not great at reading. So if you want to share it, you're more than welcome to. I know that I have sent it to you. It's hard for me to understand as a technician inside of a hospital how, when the people that we're supposed to be able to turn to for help turns their back on us. You know, as a technician, I turned in 63 cases against Dr. Oliver on my own. There were 38 other cases brought in from rescue, pet owners, and a few that were previous staff that had issues with their pets as well. During the six-month investigation, Todd Chadler reinsured me over and over, we're working on things. We also turned in where she was treating humans inside of the veterinary facility. One was with a controlled substance. Another was with anesthesia. She had one where she removed cysts on the head. She was filling tramadol, methocarbamol, for someone that had an injury to their back. She was doing cold laser to her wonderful wife, Diana, that she would get us to do at the hospital. And then another one that came forth with some type of antidepressant that she was filling for them out of the hospital for the patient's owner. All of that was turned in to Todd Chadler. He told me that they were going to contact the DEA, that, you know, those were definitely would be felony charges. You know, could I get affidavits from the people it happened to? We did affidavits. We did a police report. He was supposed to have turned everything into the DEA. The police officer turned her investigation over to him. During the investigation, Dr. Oliver knew she was going to lose her license because of the allegation. I mean, it ain't hearsay because it happened. She knew she was going to lose her license off of what she did. So she applies for Rhode Island veterinary license once she's under investigation in North Carolina. Rhode Island reaches out in November to North Carolina wanting a letter of good standing and also to make sure that, you know, she was a good fit for Rhode Island. North Carolina told them, we will not sign the letter of good standing. She is under investigation in North Carolina for multiple cases, emailed and sent them the information. On her eighth case of 103, not including the human cases, she decides to surrender her license to North Carolina Vet Board. As part of a plea bargain that all other cases would get dropped. And I can understand it to a point, not that it's fair because the other animals didn't get justice, their family didn't get justice, and I personally feel like each case should have been heard separately. But they had stack after stack of files that they couldn't even get to before she pled or before she did the plea bargain. So 2 weeks after the vet board accepts this plea bargain. Rhode Island accepts her application and approves her. So now her DEA license are now transferred to Rhode Island. So I reached back out to Todd Shadler at the vet board, and on the email I said, what about the DEA stuff? What about the human stuff? If y'all would have contacted them, she would never practice medicine anywhere again. His email states, we never got around to it. So you're telling me from July 12th, when I sent you this email with this information and your affidavits you requested, you didn't have time to contact the DEA? You didn't have time to make a phone call? So the DEA never investigated it. So we contacted the DEA in Rhode Island, gave them this information. We had the invoice. We had the lot number. We had all information, including 12 witnesses that seen everything that happened. Rhode Island, that board didn't seem to care. They're like, well, we're not going back on what we did. Until now, complaints from animal abuse cases that are happening in Rhode Island, now they're like, oh, well, maybe we need to check into this. And that's where we're at now. It's taken the point that we know of 4 cases of animal abuse before you're even trying to listen. Both vet boards should be held accountable for the fact that she lost human physical therapy license. Her court record states she's a danger to society and a danger to patients. A vet board then turns around and gives her license, and she moves on to animals that don't have a voice of their own to practice medicine on and to kill. And nobody seems to care. The places that are supposed to protect the animals and the animals' rights are the ones should be held accountable for every death and every animal that she's hurt. And they should be sued by every
animal
that's been harmed.
I agree. I agree. If anybody has any comments, questions, or thoughts, the number to call in, let me give it to you, area code 563-999-3599. Again, 563-999-3599. You can go right into the queue. You can still listen to the podcast. We've got about 16, 17 minutes left. And I'm telling you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to you, Crystal. I'm sorry to all the others that I didn't dedicate the full 2 hours alone just to hearing about Janine Oliver, who is still currently practicing. And there's more out there that we need to get out there and warn the general public. We need to be the voice for these animals. Go ahead, continue. I'm going to check the queue to see if anybody called in.
So, I mean, that's the ultimate goal. You know, I did receive the letter for the, you know, to be quiet, just like I did in 2020 when we started this to begin with. You know, back then, I did have to be silenced because I wasn't just fighting a cease and desist letter. She took a 50C out on me for fake charges, saying that I was harassing her.
Well, explain what that is. Explain what that is. You have to explain what that is.
I may say it wrong, but a 50C order is basically, it's not like a domestic violence, like a 50B. It's basically if someone is communicating threats or you feel endangered. Like, basically, my 50C order said that I was making, I don't know how to put this nice in a way where it doesn't make me sound like a bad person because I didn't do it. But basically, I was making homophobic remarks to her and her wife at work, that I was stalking them, that I was giving Dr. Oliver looks that made her feel threatened. So she took this 50C order out right after I contacted, or didn't contact, sorry, right after I told Shannon what happened to Jenna. That removed me from the animal hospital so that I could not go back to work. So I battled that back and forth. I was found, of course, not guilty. All this is public record. She also then tried to get me on a felony charge saying that I embezzled from their company. To get a lawyer, this wasn't just a simple case, and the reason it fell in under embezzlement, not because I stole anything, but I did, and I'm not going to lie, I took screenshots I recorded videos that was being recorded of what happened into the hospital. I took pictures of what the pets looked like. I screenshotted patients' records because I needed the legal proof to show that she falsifies records, that she lies to clients, that she uses dirty instruments in the hospital, that she'll use multiple packs, she kicks dogs, that she hit employees, that she's slammed fingers in the door, that she's thrown scalpel blades at. I had to have the proof to show that I wasn't lying and to try to protect these animals. So I faced embezzlement because the company, between the protest and me speaking out, they lost business. And I was found not guilty. Did I have to pay money like Diana put on the review? Yes, I had to pay money. I had to pay money to an attorney to prove I was not guilty. But in the long run, the companies who paid me. I filed whistleblower law. Every employee filed for harassment and where she threw, hit, punched walls, grabbed animals by throat. We all filed this with OSHA, with the labor board. And still, it got us nowhere other than it silenced me as Crystal. So I created a fake Facebook profile named Olivia Davis Williams, which is also listed on my cease and desist letter to be quiet, because Olivia had to become a voice for me, Crystal, because she silenced me. And I wasn't going to continue to let her harm animals and not be able to speak out. Olivia was a fake person, but what came from Olivia's, what came out to the world was all true. And my goal is not because I'm this disgruntled employee that she says that I am. I'm doing this because I made a promise to Jenna when she was cutting her dead tissue that was falling off with a dirty pair of scissors out of the drawer that you cut paper with, that I made her a promise that I wouldn't stop till I got justice for her. And it's not that I hate Dr. Oliver. I hate what she did, but I hate the fact that I stayed and I hurt every day for these animals, because these owners think, well, why didn't she help? Why didn't they help? Why didn't they speak out? Why would these employees watch? We didn't. We gave them antibiotics when she didn't. We snuck in the video of the yellow dog in the cage. We snuck in when she said she was going to do the dog that weekend. We wasn't allowed up there because she was mad at the staff. She told she didn't need any of us there. We went in and cleaned Jax's cage. We went in and made sure he had fluid and syringe, fed him some water and a little bit of AD food. We did that, because we were told she would do it, and we knew these animals were suffering from her. But we couldn't steal a dog out of there and take it that didn't belong to us. We got in trouble for theft of stealing an animal. What would that do? That's going to silence 12 people? Then who was going to speak up? Who was going to protect the animals? And that's where she's at now, in Banfield Johnson, Rhode Island. Y'all aren't protecting the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you
let me tell you, let me share with people that on my Inspector Bark Facebook page, everybody, I just posted the link to the review section. And I'm going to tell you something. We have to secure all these reviews, because Banfield, to just to protect their own, you know what, they may disable the review section. They cannot remove a review section, a review itself. They would have to disable the entire review section. On that note, it's 5 minutes left, but I want to read to you, and all you need to do, I'm not going to read you my review, but I'm going to read to you underneath my review, and it's listed as Darcy Odie Butkus doesn't recommend Banfield Pet Hospital, Johnston, Rhode Island. Janine's wife, Janine Oliver, wife, Diana Singleton, comes on and tries to debate me. So she writes, no, it wasn't taken down because you don't know Crystal's backstory of being jilted and disgruntled. Writing Dr. Oliver letters of praise and admiration for 4 years until Dr. Oliver got married. Oh, okay, Diana. I mean, these people, they believe their own lies. Let me continue. That Crystal contacted the Greensboro police, who made a surprise inspection when Dr. Oliver had a day off and found no wrongdoing, and the North Carolina Veterinarian Board had the same findings. They realized that after they were threatened on Facebook that the people complaining didn't want their review, but simply believed what Crystal had perpetrated with lies and photos taken out of context. And has Crystal told anyone that the corporation that bought the clinic levied 5 felony charges against her, that her attorney bargained down to her paying court costs and attorney fees? I have been in animal profession for 45 years, 34 in Greensboro, with an impeccable reputation. Oh, okay, Diana, if you say so. Very sad for you, Darcy, that you are one of Crystal's puppets. And I went back at her. I said, you know, Diane Singleton, you are incorrect, but everybody, please read it. Take your time. Look at the email that I sent. There are executive emails from Banfield, the owner, I'm not the owner, but the president. He's listed. There's a picture somebody else posted of him in the review section, Gail Marconi. She's up there in Massachusetts. Here is a Banfield CEO, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Darish. Now, if he doesn't do something, shame on him. But then we got to reach up to who? The owners. And Mars Corporation is a family, the third wealthiest family in this country. We've got about 3 minutes left. In closing notes, I'm going to start with Scott because I know he's got to head out the door. Scott, in 30 seconds or less, what can you add before we wrap it up?
We need to educate all pet parents all over the world and let them know that we can provide veterinary reviews at any time. If they live in the United States, we can provide legal options from our attorneys, and we stand ready 7 days a week to help anyone that needs assistance.
Thank you. Very well said. Is there anyone else that would like to jump in before we close it up? I'm going to say something, and I'll let Crystal have the final say. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are not alone. Come forward. I mean, it's upsetting when Shannon is looking in the eyes of the office manager. And by the way, Crystal, real quick, is the office manager still working in the Greensboro area?
No, she's
the one that said she's
close. Yeah, no, she's not in Greensboro, but she's close by. She was a really good person.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit. Okay, very good. You've got 1 minute, less than 1 minute. Go ahead and say your final thoughts, please, Crystal.
I just want to tell all the pet owners that did suffer any pain from Dr. Oliver and that I'm truly sorry for what y'all went through. I'm very grateful for Scott and Darcy and everyone that stood behind me that's helping me go through this and lead me in the directions that I need to go to get justice for these animals. I may have been scared in 2020 to speak out. I'm not scared today. You know, my heart's telling me to keep going, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to stop.
And that's what we're going to do. We got 10 seconds, 10 seconds before we close down. I will end it on this note. I really can't thank you all for all your hard work, especially you, Crystal, Scott. Thank you so much. If you guys can still hear me, we may still be taping. And we will continue this if we need to. We will do part two. And we will fight for these animals. I know I will.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
For sure.
And I appreciate everything you guys have done. Oh, actually, you know what? Actually, I'm looking at the time. We've got 5 more minutes because I thought, gee, usually Blog Talk Radio will tell me we've got, 10 seconds. So don't hang up yet, Scott, because we do have 5 more minutes, and I'm going to use every second.
Okay.
And I didn't mean to cut you off, Crystal, because I was looking at – so sorry. But I do believe there are more victims out there. And if we all band together and we join Facebook page Joey's Legacy, Justice for Ninja, these people will help. Trust me. They will help. And we get the word out there. We spread it on social media. They are trying to silence us. They are trying to censor us. You heard it with your own ears, folks. And if I get a lawsuit, okay, I get a lawsuit. Is that going to stop me from fighting for these dogs? And again, I do this on my own time and dime. And until I find a dog that has a checking account and or a debit card, then maybe I will be compensated for this. But I will not stop, and it is my mission. It is my passion. And when you try to talk to people, I don't care what walk of life, what profession they are, and you try to tell them, don't believe everything you're told and you believe this particular rescue, how about this? And I start telling them. It's almost like this cloud forms in front of their eyes, like they don't want to hear it. Again, we're distorting an illusion. Wake up, folks. This is happening, and we need to continue to spread the word. We've got 4 minutes. Scott, go ahead and finish, and then I'll let you go, and then Crystal will wrap it up.
The big problem is that a lot of people that have never had a bad experience with a vet, that represents the majority, have a hard time wrapping their arms around the concept of veterinary malpractice. I mean, I've got people in the group that, you know, have private messaged me and said, what are you guys making such a big deal out of? I've had animals for, you know, 40 years, 50 years, and I never had a bad – well, that's the way of the world. Most people will never have a bad experience. We're dealing with a minority of the profession that chooses to do things their own way. They feel very emboldened, very empowered, because they feel that vet boards will not come after them. Well, we're trying to take the place of the vet boards, and we're trying to go after these rogue veterinarians, especially the ones that falsify records, because we have an opportunity to sue for fraud in a variety of ways. So it's not just a matter of when you prove veterinary malpractice or negligence, you have a return of your veterinary costs that you expended, and what they call a replacement value. Of course, it's kind of a bogus term. I don't. You know, there's no. You can't replace what you've lost, but they do assign a dollar amount. But it's not just that anymore. Now we're going after fraud, what they call spoliation of evidence, basically falsifying records, and that can carry with it punitive damages of up to 3 times the amount of veterinary costs. So all of a sudden, a $7,000-$10,000 case turns into $40,000 if we can prove, fraud was committed, falsifying records. And we're going to keep looking for ways to keep, you know, striking out and getting our message across. It's not either these rogue veterinarians are not living in a safe zone anymore. As long as Joey's legacy is in existence, we're going to keep coming up with new ways. And, you know, if they want to endure what we have to dole out, you know, fine.
Great. Thank you, Scott. We've got less than 60 seconds. It's counting in my ear. And I will say one more thing. If you all want me to do part two, I'll be happy to do that. I like doing it at this hour. If you want to do it another time, I'm flexible. On that note, I thank you all for listening, and you've got about 30 seconds, Crystal. Go ahead, and you can close it off. And I thank you so much for being the voice for the animals. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, again, I appreciate everybody listening, and I hope that this reaches the right person and we can finally put a stop to it. There's definitely proof in North Carolina and already in Rhode Island that Janine Oliver has falsified multiple records, and I think everyone should go back and criminally charge her with fraud and get justice for their babies. Just because the vet board closed theirs, reach out to Scott and see if they can help you further to get justice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think we got cut off there the last 20 seconds or so, but you did a great job. And on that note, for those of you still listening, thank you so much. It's no longer being recorded. You can still hear me, but it stopped at the 2-hour mark. And we'll move from there. And Scott, I'll be in touch with you, and Crystal, we'll be talking.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darson.
Thank you, everybody. You bet. Anytime. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye.